feel the need of your prayers this morning. The Lord would bless His word and make it of profit to every one of us. I'm thankful for the Lord. I owe my life and devotion and my all to Him. I want to be faithful to Him with the little bit that I have to offer Him. It doesn't come anywhere close to matching what He's given for me, but I want to spend my life endeavoring by the Lord's help to show Him how much I appreciate what He's done for me. I'd like to begin in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12, and read the first verse. This is on the heels of the chapter of faith, listing out many of the heroes of faith. It is our faith lineage in the Lord, those who went before us, who faced adversity and hardship and were tested in more severe ways than I ever have been, and were faithful to the Lord, found His help in time of need, and found His grace sufficient, and had faith in Him that didn't waver in the hardest of difficulties and places that they encountered. It's quite a legacy that we follow along behind. And I'll admit I feel pretty small as I look at the names that are in this list. You know, they too, Scripture says, out of weakness, they were made strong. It wasn't that they were born heroes in the faith. It wasn't that they were just born with some abnormal virtue or graces that made it easier for them. But the Lord enabled them, as He will enable us who will be faithful to Him. So we read now, as it brings it down to our time, it says in Hebrews 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." This challenge is given to every one of us who have started out on the same journey of faith or have started out living for the Lord. We are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. And I say, the Scripture says, the family of God that's in both heaven and earth, those that have gone before us certainly, and those that are faithful to God in this cloud of witnesses here in this life. Thank the Lord that we are not alone. The enemy might try to make us feel isolated and alone, and this situation is unique to me, but there, as the angel told unto Elijah, "I have reserved," or the Lord, I guess, speaking to Elijah, "I have reserved unto me 7,000 people that have not bowed the knee to Baal." You're not alone. You're not in this alone. There is, thank the Lord, a cloud of witnesses, again, both that have gone before and those that are still living of like precious faith, that we should be able to draw encouragement from, to be provoked by one another unto good works. We're not, every man doesn't live or die unto himself. Lord, help us to be faithful. Written on the board, the word Levirites. Don't know if you're familiar with that word, but explain it as we go along. Ties to this first scripture that we read. How badly do we want to make heaven? How badly do we want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Because the truth of God's word is that every one of us may. Whosoever will can hear him say, "Well done." Anybody is able to come to the Lord and be saved, no matter their education level, their upbringing, their religious background, their culture, or anything else that might be characteristic to who they are. A soul that reaches out to the Lord is able to get a hold of the same precious faith that you and I have gotten a hold of, and those that have gone before us. Thank the Lord that it still works, that the Lord's ear is not heavy, that he's not able to hear, and his arm is not shortened, that he's not able to save. The Lord is the author of our faith. He is the one that picks us up and lifts us up out of the miry clay and sets our feet on a solid rock and establishes our going and puts a new song in our mouth. But that's not all. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. While the Lord starts, he has the grace and the plan and the ability to finish it, to complete it. He doesn't just start a job halfway in and then run out of the desire or the gumption or the know-how or the interest to be able to complete that work. The Lord wants to complete every one of us. He wants to perfect us as we go through life. And he wants to bring us safely through to the other side. There are many people that have started out and not made it. You ever have the devil come along and try to point that out to you? I believe it was in Pilgrim's Progress that Christian experienced some of the same things. Pointing out those that have died. The bone pile outside of Doubting Castle and the bodies of those littered on the side of the path and saying, "It's going to be you." Folks, it doesn't have to be us. We don't have to fall by the wayside. The Lord has the grace and the interest, the vested interest in helping every one of us make heaven our home. But how badly do we want to? Because it'll require something of us. I'd like to call your remembrance now to a period of our nation's history, one that has long intrigued me, and as a boy always enjoyed reading the stories of the Oregon Trail, of those who had heard the stories of the land out west, and who had a spark and a vision and a desire to go out and start anew in this land of which they had heard. They would gather themselves together many times in a caravan or a band, a group of them together, and they would strike out for Oregon. It wasn't, of course, as it is traveling today, even driving. That's about a 2-day trip or so out to Oregon now. They didn't have interstates, and they didn't have the overpasses, and they didn't have the ways through the mountains that were cleared. It was difficult going. It required a determination, a desire for something on the other side of it. And it took, 5-6 months or more. Many people started out on that journey. Not as many people finished the journey. Not as many people made it to the other side. There were those that would say along the way there were many makeshift graves and places where people didn't make it. They buried them along the way, mostly disease, sickness, injury, other dangers that befell them. But they did it with the desire of reaching what they considered to be a promised land. There was often much planning that would go into a trip like that. They would listen to the stories of those that had explored and made it out west. As the years progressed and more people had done it, there was more guidance on the things that you would find most helpful along the way. The things that would be necessary for you that you might not think of whenever you're not out in the difficulties that they were going to face in the months to come. So they would begin to take stock and begin to accumulate the goods that they needed. Many times, maybe converting an old farm wagon into one that could be used for the journey. As I understand, they would take about 2,000 pounds of cargo with them. And about 90% of that was food. In case the hunting isn't so successful, other things that you'd need along the way. So that didn't leave a whole lot of weight on the wagon to be able to haul. If that were the case, 2,000 pounds, you might assume 200 pounds of it left for goods that you might find necessary, and of that you'd want to have some tools and implements that you take along with you. You want to take some clothing along with you and things of that nature. But many of these people that were packing up and leaving were leaving behind a lifetime or generations of life out east. Many of them, not all, were wealthy. Many of them weren't. But they had things in their possession, as do no doubt all of us. Things that were of sentimental value. Things that maybe had been passed down from family to family, from generation to generation. Whether it's furniture or it's some special dish or something that it has a great value attached. It's irreplaceable. You can't just go buy another one because of the memories that it holds and the sentimental value that it has. Other items of perhaps just monetary value that they said, I can't part with this. I don't want to leave this behind. Maybe it was items of comfort or maybe to decorate the new home. I don't want to leave all that. I don't want to have to start completely over. I can imagine perhaps the children chiming in. Pa, can I take this item? I don't want to leave this wagon behind. I don't want to leave this toy. Maybe the wife, dear, couldn't we surely fit the china in? This hutch over here that grandma passed down to me, there were stories even of those who decided to pack the piano and take the piano along for the journey as well. Well, it seems like a good idea when you're starting out. Well, who knows? Maybe you'd even be of use along the way. Certainly whenever we get there, pianos might not be easy to come by, and whatever, if you'll put yourself in imagining the place that perhaps they were in. And so they packed up many times more than what they were really able to take. Because it's hard to decide, what do I leave behind? You ever try to go through and spring clean or declutter, minimalize, whatever you want to call it? Some people have a harder time of that than others. Some people, I'm more sentimental than Katrina is. She doesn't flinch sometimes, just throwing something away she thinks has lived its purpose, its usefulness, chunk it in the trash. My mind thinks, I'm going to need that one of these days. Who knows when that thing could come in handy? And it tends, as we heard in Sunday school, there's a reason why we're made the ways that we are. We're to be a complement and a benefit to each other. I'm thankful I don't have to trip over my things when I come into the house each day. But it's difficult for some people to be able to part with something that holds value to them, of whatever monetary value it is. It's not a whole lot of fun spring cleaning day around our house whenever the children are summoned to their rooms and are told it's time to clean house. It's time to get rid of some things. There aren't very many items that the children will volunteer and say, I don't want this anymore. I don't need this anymore. And so sometimes it becomes a painful process to say, we're not going to keep accumulating all this stuff. You're going to part with things. It's almost like removing a body member or something, you'd think. The painfulness of parting with something that seems of value to me. Well, I'm sure there was some of that, and perhaps that's part of the reason why many of the parties that started out were traveling too heavy. And it worked fine as they were crossing the plains. Maybe it wasn't so difficult there, but there were some places along the journey that things got more difficult. There were some places along the journey where the livestock were worn out. They were tired, and the path became much steeper as they began to approach either the Rocky Mountain Range or further along the Blue Mountains, that this isn't easy going now. And there were some difficult decisions that had to be made. We're not going to make it up over this ridge. We're not making the progress that we need to make. And parties that would come along this Oregon Trail would find heaps of leverites, as they began to call it. And it was so called, as I understand, by people saying, we're going to leave her right here. Leave it right here. We're not taking it across the mountain. We're not carrying it with us. The time has come that we cannot carry this thing any longer. This thing becomes a leverite. You leave it right here in this place. And there were all kinds of possessions and items that whenever someone started out in the journey, it seemed impossible to part with this. I can't let go of that. I can't part with this. Until they came to a point in the journey where they realized it might be my life or this thing. How valuable is it to me then? Whenever I realize maybe I'm racing the clock against a snowstorm that will soon be setting in. And if I choose to go at this pace, I'm going to be caught right in the middle of it, and I may never get out of it alive. You begin to re-examine what it is that's really important to you. Those things that before seemed just so priceless, that it's so worth holding on to. Now, in the light of what I'm facing now, and in the journey that's before me, and I've got to evaluate now, how important is it for me to get there? How important is it for me to reach the goal that I've started out for? We can sit right here on the side of this mountain and unload the piano and play it and enjoy our possessions, and I'm going to die right here at this piano. If I'm not willing to part with this. So I want us to think of this in light of the scripture that we've just read. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. There are some things that we might start out in our journey with the Lord that maybe not even have an understanding at the time, that this thing is going to hinder me. This thing is going to slow me down. It's going to hold me back. You know, there are some things, I believe, in people's lives that the Lord wants to turn into leverites. I want you to leave it right here. You've carried this thing long enough. You've toted it along with you everywhere you go, and it's slowing you down. I remember reading a story, and I'm sorry, I don't even remember the nation that it was now. One of the European nations, they sent their version of the Navy out in anticipation of an invading army. And they decided that it would be a good idea to chain the ships together. That we'll make an impenetrable front for the invading army. That every one of our ships are chained together in a united front. Well, there's value in being united and all of that. But the invading army that looked at it and assessed the situation said, you know what? There's no way that mass of ships can move around like that. There's no way that they can be able to, be able to navigate or position themselves to be able to do battle. And sure enough, it wasn't. They out-navigated and outflanked them. And suddenly what they thought would be valuable, this ship to the side of, I can't go because it's now a hindrance to me. People make decisions far too often that I can't leave this behind. I can't let go of this. This thing is too important to me and too valuable to me. Folks, there are too many graves along the way of people who were hindered, of people who didn't make it to the end. We've got to be determined that whatever it takes, one song says, to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. Take my houses, my lands, change my dreams and my plans. If that's what's necessary, Lord, I'll be willing to do it because the most valuable thing to me is my soul. I've got to make heaven. Folks, safe passage in this journey is more valuable than any cargo that we take along with us. We're not taking it to the other side anyway. There are things that we can carry along with us in our life that can seem like it holds value. It holds an attachment to us, a love that maybe we still have for it that is a hindrance. The scripture teaches us, says something to the effect that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but not everything edifies. I don't believe the Lord wants us to have the perspective in our life that we live our lives by, is this sin or is it not? Can I get by with this in my life? Can I justify this thing in my life and say, well, technically, I don't think that you could prove in Scripture that it's sin. So I'm going to do it anyway until you can prove it otherwise. Folks, what is our objective? Let's not be legalistic in how we serve the Lord. Legalism is not just on, call it conservative or strict or whatever side of way of thinking. We can become legalistic in our mind to say, is this sin or is it not? If I can get by with this, I'm going to try to do it. Our mindset should not be what I can get by with. Our mindset shouldn't be how much we can load the wagon down, how heavy we can make it. Go get all your stuff and pile it on. You ever see people going down the road like that? Stuff over the vehicle and on the sides of the vehicle and strapped on. Our purpose and our objective is safe passage, not maximizing the cargo that we can take along the way. I'd like to look at a familiar story. Story of Jonah. We know what happened with Jonah. The Lord gave him the command to go up against Nineveh. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, first chapter in the third verse, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. These mariners knew what they were doing. They were, by their trade, by the very title that they were called, they were men of the sea. They were men who were experienced in navigating the storms that might blow up on the sea. And there were times, evidently, in their experience of weathering storms like this, that your best chance of weathering the storm is throwing items overboard to lighten the ship. I'm not a mariner. I can't attest to how well that works, but I do think also, maybe we'll turn and get this in parallel, of an instance in Paul's experience, found in the book of Acts, the 27th chapter. Acts 27 and 15, it says, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." So they did something very similar here. Whatever the wares and the goods were that were in the ship, they were there, I'm sure, not just for decoration. They had to be loaded manually onto that ship, every one of them. Perhaps it was a merchant ship. No doubt it had value attached to it. But you notice how their value system changed in the face of death? You ever find that to be the case when people get down onto there? Maybe very sick, maybe towards the end of their life. Sadly, it's not always the case. But sometimes when the Lord has mercy and allows an individual to realize, I'm drawing to the end here, that there comes a real searching. There should, shouldn't there? I want to make sure that everything's right. I want to make sure this thing is serious now. More serious than it's ever been before. I don't want to take any chances now. Maybe there's something that along through my life, maybe it's come up to my mind different times and I've kind of dismissed it and said, I don't think there's anything to it, and I've rationalized it and I've justified it. But now I come down to the place that I realize I could be stepping out to face God any moment. I don't want to take any chances. I don't want to gamble with my soul. Lord, if there's even a question mark to this thing, I'll throw it overboard. I don't want to carry it with me. I don't want to allow this thing to drag me down. There's another, I believe they call it ballast, in hot air balloon flying. One of the ways to gain altitude quickly is to throw ballast overboard. It might be tubs of water or bags of sand or something that's carried as ballast that you can quickly let some of the load overboard if in atmospheric conditions or something cause you to sink too quickly and maybe you're in danger of striking an object. You let some of the ballast overboard. I want us to realize through these thoughts, there are places in our lives that I believe the Lord brings every one of us to cause us to search, to cause us to dig, to cause us to examine. Lord, is there anything that's holding me back? Anything that's hindering me? The Lord has ways of doing that. They weren't asking those kind of questions whenever the prairie schooners were going across Missouri and some of the flats. But whenever things began to get difficult, it was a time of searching and saying, what's it going to take? What are we going to have to do? What are we willing to part with? You know, the Lord allows hardship for a reason. The Lord allows many times sickness for a reason. Oh, you know, sometimes at a time of life when people need to be the most serious is a time of life whenever the way of the world is just put them out of it. Just numb their ability to reason and think. Folks, it is so important for us to make sure that we're not carrying a bunch of Levirites, that we're not carrying a bunch of unnecessary baggage and weights that we're carrying around with us that is a hindrance to us, that maybe today I'm still slowly moving forward, but the time will come if I don't take care of this, that I'm not going to make it down the road. The Lord knows the way that we take. The Lord knows the way that's ahead of us. He knows what it's going to take to be able to make it inside of His heaven. And I am thankful that the Lord, to an honest soul, is willing to send maybe whatever is required to get them to heaven. Oh, folks, it is so important and valuable for us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we not chafe at it, that we not buck at His dealings and His workings in our life, but to say, Lord, is there something that I need to throw overboard? Lord, is there something that I need to chunk? So the mariners, the sailors were doing this as now they're faced with maybe one of the worst storms they've been in. We're in danger of losing our life. I hate quoting Satan. But even he said, remember in Job, something like, yea, skin for skin, all that a man hath, will he give for his own life? He was saying that of Job, accusing him to the Lord, saying, if you'll touch his health, he'll curse you to your face. Because that's the most valuable thing that body has. They'll give anything to be able to save their lives. Well, we have a survival instinct within us, and I suppose, right, we should. People, whenever they realize their life is in danger, are willing to go to great lengths to spare their life. You remember the story of a man named Aaron Ralston? Aaron was a young man that went hiking, I believe it was Utah, one of the western states. He was hiking through a slot canyon alone. Whenever he was climbing over a boulder, it was a real narrow slot canyon, and a boulder was wedged in that canyon, and he had to climb over it to get to the other side. And as he did, his weight shifted the boulder, and the boulder fell on his right arm and pinned it to the wall of the canyon. Aaron spent something like 5 days with his arm pinned to the canyon wall. Nobody around. He hadn't told anybody where he was going to be. They didn't know where to search for him. And Aaron began to realize, this is my tomb. I'm going to die here. And Aaron, without trying to get gruesome with the details of it, he was so desperate to live, began to said to think of his children and his family and said, I cannot die here. I can't die and they don't even know where I am. So Aaron took his pocket knife out. He, by his own body weight, broke his arm. And then with his pocket knife, he cut his arm off. I don't know if I could. He didn't have anything to deaden, numb, sterilize. All he had was a little pocket knife and a desperate will to live. And his arm became a Levirate. He cut it off and he left the arm pinned between the boulder and the canyon wall. But he lived. What did Jesus say about it's better that you lose your eye or that your hand be cut off? It's better for that to happen than to lose your soul in hell. The Lord wants every one of us to have a proper value system and perspective of what's really important and what's really not. I'll tell you, I find my right arm to be pretty important, to be pretty valuable. But when I realize it's that or it's my life, and I lose both arms and everything else, maybe I think about being willing to part with something that I never thought I could part with before. If people can have that kind of will to live in the flesh, if they can look at the wares on their ship that was going to be, maybe their month's income or more, things that could never be replaced, and say, throw it overboard, I don't want it anymore, how much more should we be willing when it comes to the destiny of my soul to say, you know, it's not worth it anymore. That grudge is not worth holding on to. And I can look at it and say, but it's valuable. There's a reason I have it. I can look at that offense. I can look at that prejudice. I can look at those things and say, but my parents gave me that. My grandparents gave me that. That's the way that they were before me. It's become part of who I am by now. I wouldn't even know how to part with it. I don't know if I can live without it. It's who I am. The Lord wants to make a pile of Levirites. I'm going to leave it right here. Lord, where you deal with me, that's my altar. And Lord, I'm going to come and I'm going to lay it out before you and say, Lord, I've got all my reasons. I don't want to part with this. I don't want to let go. I don't even know how to let go. But Lord, I want to. This thing is hindering me. This thing is holding me. You ever heard the saying, cut anchor? Or maybe cut anchor and run, something like that. Cut rope and run, I don't remember. Something to that effect. That's a reference to cutting the rope of the anchor to a ship. There's a reason and a purpose for an anchor. It's to keep you where you're at. But people don't go to sea to just stay where they're at. There's a time when the winds are blowing to stay where you're at. But we don't start out for the Lord to just stay where we're at. The idea of cutting anchor is, instead of taking the time to weigh anchor and pull it up and load it back, you lose time in doing that. If it is urgent enough, who cares what the anchor cost? Who cares what it's going to take to replace it? If it's urgent enough, just cut the rope and let's get out of here. How urgent is it for us to make heaven our home? How urgent is it for us to walk close to the Lord? How important is it for us to feel His presence? How important is it for us to hear His voice talking to us? There are things that can hinder that. How much are those things worth to us? I know there have been times that I try to go down to prayer and, well, I'll just get down to where I live. Maybe things haven't been on the most cordial terms at the moment. Maybe there's a little bit of a rift or a little bit of a discussion that has taken place in the home. And I just don't really feel like having a whole lot of conversation, right? And then I try to have prayer and this thing's coming up in my mind. I got to take care of something. In fact, the scripture says, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. See, it's more important than, there's some things that are more important than what I find to be valuable and important and worth holding on to with everything I have. There's some things that are more valuable than that. The presence and the blessing and the favor of the Lord, shouldn't it outweigh anything else that we could hold on to? Anything else that we could say, but this is mine. And the Lord has something so much better and more valuable. The Scriptures talk about the children of Israel, speaking of the time that they murmured and complained in the wilderness, that the Lord gave them their request. They got their way, but it cost them dearly. It says He sent leanness unto their soul. Again, I ask, what's more valuable to us? Are we willing to, cut anchor in those places that maybe hold me down, where I can't move past this? There are different examples of it. I think the Scripture talks about in one place, laying aside malice and guile and deceit and all evil workings. Lay it aside. It's not worth holding on to. Those things that can begin to wrap themselves around us. The Scripture says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I want to challenge us this morning that we not allow the things of this life, whatever it might be, for you and for me, that we not allow those things to entangle us, where I'm not at liberty to do and to be what the Lord wants me to be. And so it is with the things of Satan. It might start out with something that's just like a little root of bitterness. Just a little feeling towards somebody. A little grudge that I just kind of want to nurse for a little while. Those things grow and they get stronger and they begin to entangle and bind us more and more. Lay aside every weight. There are times that the Lord, Scripture says, you've left your first love. There are times we got to come back to the place where the source of the hindrance is. You notice, even as they, in the case of Jonah, were throwing things overboard, it still didn't lighten the ship enough. Until they dealt with the disobedience. Until they dealt with the rebellion against God. That outweighed everything else. And it'll be so in our lives. It won't matter how many good works we do. It won't matter how faithfully I try to serve the church or other people or give offerings or whatever the case might be. None of those things will outweigh the weight of a rebellious spirit, the weight of things where I am walking in disobedience to God. It won't matter all. Is the Lord pleased with thousands of rams? He said no. He was talking to a disobedient and a rebellious people. I'm not interested in your rams. I'm not interested in your offerings. I'm not interested in all your outward shows of wanting to worship me and wanting to give yourself to me and wanting all. No, deal with the thing that's holding you back. You go back and you take care of that thing. We can dance around issues sometimes and we can excuse and justify. Well, I don't know why. Let me try this over here. Let me try that over there. And until I get to the thing that the Lord would try to put His finger on, that sometimes maybe seems the hardest for me to even conceive of letting go of, Folks, we're going to be hindered. And even those things that I might not be able to look and find place that I could definitively say that sin, those places that I would hold on to, it can be things that consume our time. That's not for me to stand up here and say, don't do that, because it's taking up too much time. Folks, I have confidence in the Holy Spirit that is able to deal with and work with every one of us and show us those things if we are honest and sincere and say, Lord, more than anything else, I want to make heaven. I believe the Lord is able to show us there's some things here that are holding you back. I don't want to embarrass or put someone on the spot, but we heard a testimony just recently of something that the Lord had pinpointed in someone's life, saying, you know what, you're spending too much time listening to the radio talk shows and those things. I can't say there's any. I listen to them from time to time. But folks, when the Lord comes along and says, there's something weighing you down, we got to be willing to throw it overboard. We got to be willing to make that thing a levirate and not continue to try carrying that thing forward. Because our objective should be, and there are so many different ways that Paul addressed it and that the scriptures talk to us about it. As somebody who runs a race, he runs, he's willing to lay aside, he's willing to put down, he's willing to deny himself because he doesn't want anything hindering. He doesn't want anything getting in the way. Can you imagine somebody saying, you know, I love this toolbox. Who knows but what I might need this toolbox 20 miles into the marathon. And here I go lugging my toolbox full of my tools that who knows when I might need it along with me. And I'm wondering why I'm panting and out of breath after 100 yards. I just can't do it. I can't make it. And people come to places in their lives too often that they get discouraged. And they say, you know, I've never been able to get past this. You know, I've heard people say, I've never been able to stay saved longer than, and they'll, whatever period of time. It just doesn't seem to work for me. It does work. Salvation works. The way of God works. But there may be places, and it might be different for you and different for me, but I have to be honest and sincere and say, I want this. More than anything else, Savior, more than life to me, more than the very most precious things that I hold on to, I've got to be willing to say, I'll leave it. I'll cut the ropes that hold me back. I'll cut those things. One of those is a love for the world, a love for the things that I'm not quite willing to let go of. That I still want to dress like and look like and appear like and go like and watch like the world. Folks, those things will cumber us down. They'll weigh us down. At best, they'll weigh us down. Do we want to be successful? Are we in this just to say, hey, I'm on the Oregon Trail? Or am I in this to get to Oregon? I've heard Oregon's beautiful, but I'm not trying to equate it to heaven. Folks, there's something that we've started out for. Are we in it to win it? Are we in it at whatever the cost? Say, Lord, start doing some searching. You know, when we ask the Lord that, sometimes we want the Lord to come out and just write it down on a piece of paper. Here's what it is. You know, sometimes we have to want it. Sometimes we have to set ourselves to seek the Lord. Sometimes we have to fast and pray. Say, Lord, what is it? What is it that's holding me back here? What is it that's tying me down? I'm not able to get up over this thing. Lord, what is it? And I set myself to seek the Lord. You know what? How the Lord might answer? The Lord might send some difficult trials my way. And please understand, when we go through difficulty and we go through trial, it is not necessarily, and often not, a sign of the Lord's displeasure on us. It's not just an indication that, well, I'm holding on to some things and the Lord's trying to crack it loose. But there is value in the things the Lord sends our way to allow me to begin doing some searching and some digging. So I want to encourage us, whatever the Lord sends your way, however the Lord talks and deals with you, don't turn a deaf ear to it. Don't just go on and forget it. But set yourself to seek the Lord. Set yourself to say, Lord, what is it? Is there anything that you would have me to let go of? Luke, the 9th chapter. Luke 9, in the beginning, in the 59th verse. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. That almost sounds callous, doesn't it? But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. It's hard for us to understand sometimes the workings of God. But folks, He it is that inhabits eternity. His perspective is an eternal perspective. And thank the Lord He's willing to deal with us from that perspective. That whatever it takes, whatever He sends and allows in my life, it's not at too great a cost. That if it'll help me make heaven my home, I won't get to the end and say, Lord, it wasn't worth it. There is a cross for every one of us to bear. And it is a cross of dying out to ourselves. And what Jesus is teaching here is that if there is anything else that is more valuable. It was Jesus teaching not to bury the dead. Of course He wasn't. But if there's something that encumbers you, if there's something that gets in the way, Brother David brought out this morning of even the example of a job. It's necessary. Man's got to provide for his house. But if it starts crossing a line where it's hindering the amount of time, the passion that I'm given to, and it is getting between me and serving the Lord, I got to examine. I'm going to have to make some adjustments here. Be willing to say no to ourselves. It'll be no easier for us than those who had to decide, I'm going to leave my precious china on the side of the trail. I imagine that there were some people who probably left that point with tears in their eyes. Folks, let's not be a Lot's wife. Let's not. But Lord, but back there, Lord, back there, I'm not quite willing to leave that past life. There's some things that are still drawing me back. What does Hebrews 11 say? If they had been mindful of that country from whence they had come, they would have had opportunity to have returned. You see, those things will become a hindrance to us. They'll become a snare to us down the road. Another said also, Lord, I will follow Thee. I will, Lord. I want to follow You. But first, let me go back and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. I believe the Lord chose purposefully here things that seemed very reasonable. Things that seemed, nothing wrong with that, to cause us to realize it's not just the rank sins that'll hinder us. But if there's anything that gets between us and loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's not worth holding on to. And it'll hinder us down the road. Folks, the Lord has success for every one of us. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We think about it in the light of our little analogy today. No man who is determined to take every possession he owns in his house and load it on the wagon, no man like that is fit for the Oregon Trail. It's not that you can't start out, that you might not make it a little ways. But you're not fit for it. You're not going to be able to make it. Whenever the tests and the trials and the real difficult places along the journey come, you're not going to have what you need to be able to get over. And so it is, I believe, in the kingdom of heaven. We're going to have to be willing to lay aside weights. We're going to have to be willing to cut things off that maybe hurt, that maybe are difficult to part with. But I believe today that if we'll be willing to call some of those things that have maybe long hindered us, that we've long carried along with us, if we'll be willing to turn those into levirites, folks, I believe the Lord has success and victory for us to be able to get over some of those places that maybe I've struggled and I've been stuck and my wheels have been spinning for a long time. And I say, Lord, I want to get over. I want to see the other side of this mountain. If we'll be faithful and honest and sincere before the Lord, I believe He'll be faithful to bring us safely through. You pray for me. Amen.